Yo, this is Colin Gale from Africa Creative Agency, and you're listening to World Music Views. Check it out.
What's poppin'?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
Congrats on your Grammy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
I think that's a phenomenal achievement with a new artist from Africa, first time out, first time Grammy, first category. What was that like when you heard her name announced? That's Tyla.
It was incredible, man. It was it felt really good. We put a lot of hard work in. We put a lot of time in to get to that point. It was a level of validation. It felt really, yeah, it was a level of validation. It just felt good. It just felt good for her family, for everyone on the continent, for all the work that we've put in. Yeah, it felt good. It felt really good.
Is she feeling like she's accepted in America yet? Are you feel like she's accepted in America now?
I think so. I think she's a part of American pop culture at this point. I think America has a love affair with what's going on from Africa, and I think she's a part of that.
Yeah. Let's talk about you for a little bit. How did you get in the industry? Where are you from?
I'm from Manchester, Jamaica. I got in the industry many, many years ago. Started managing a young man by the name of Kenny Lattimore, and then started managing a Jazzy Jeff and a Touch of Jazz and Jill Scott, and working for 50 Cent, running all of his global brands. So I've been in the business for quite a while. So, and worked on in Africa for the past 20 years. So I've been around. I've been in the music business, or the creative business for the past 20, 25 years.
So you found success in America, from Jamaica, found success in America. Why go to Africa? Why not find more artists in America?
I fell in love with her. I went to Africa in the late 90s and went back again in 2004 and just fell in love with the possibilities, fell in love with the space, and felt that that's what I was supposed to do. I felt like that was my calling. So yeah, I just doubled down. It wasn't a, I don't think I have to choose. I think I can represent anyone from anywhere if I choose to, but I made a decision to focus on the continent and focus on creatives that was coming out of that space, and I felt there was a need for the skill set that I had. And so I applied myself.
So you set up an agency in Africa. Tell me about that agency. What's it called, and what's your mission over there?
The agency is called Africa Creative Agency. It's an agency slash management company. We focus on both music, publishing. We have a label called Exodus. And we have a film and TV division. And we focus on both East, West, and South Africa. And we focus on representing the creatives and building businesses around our creatives. The company is made up of about four different individuals, five individuals, that have an expertise in different areas.
Nice, nice, nice. And you work with your wife, Yvette, who is also in the music business, right? How do you guys complement each other?
I think we just have two very different styles. I think my wife comes from a strong PR press background, has had over 25 years in that space, and then worked with everyone from Mary J. Blige to Eminem to 50 to the Fugees to Nas, on and on and on. So we complement each other. She is more on the operation side. She's more on the press side of things. I am more on the strategy studio, making records, signing artists. So we have two very different approaches, but they complement each other.
Yeah. Have you watched the Bob Marley movie?
I did, I did today, actually.
Tell me, what's your feedback?
I couldn't have, I, it was a, probably one of the most proudest moments I had of being a Jamaican, if I can even go as far as saying that. It was just, I cried. Doing a movie, I thought it was well done. I thought where and how they decided to tell the story, I thought was incredible. I really liked it. I was actually in the studio tonight and telling a bunch of guys that I really, really enjoyed that song. I mean, that movie.
Do you think it presents an opportunity for reggae music, or it presents an opportunity for Bob Marley's catalog?
I think more Bob Marley's catalog and who Bob was and what Bob meant. I think it represents an opportunity for us to look at peace and to look at love and for what he stood for. I think it's something that the world needs right now. And I think Bob has always represented, love, unity, and people and Ja. And I think the world needs this message now. I think, of course, his catalog will benefit, but his message will once again be amplified at a time that it's truly needed.
But do you think other reggae acts can capitalize on this opportunity? The movie's number one worldwide, 80 million worldwide, 50, 46 million in the US alone. Do you think, with the eyes on reggae now via this movie, or the
I don't
eyes?
know if the eyes are on, I don't know if the eyes are on reggae. I think the eyes is on Bob's message. I don't know if it's on reggae per se. It's on what Bob stood for. That's just my opinion. The movie is about what Bob stood for, his message, the way he delivered that message through reggae music, yes. But this movie was about Bob and Bob's message and his message of love and his message of unity and his message of people loving each other. I think that's what I got from it. I didn't know if I walked away. I'm already a reggae fan, but I don't know if I walked away feeling like this was now the doors are flung open for reggae. I think the doors flung open for positivity, for music that speaks to people, music that moves people. I think, yeah, I think it speaks to the power of music. And the power of love. I think that's, yeah, I think that's what the movie spoke to for me.
You, although you're in Africa, you've been to Jamaica recently, and you're coming to Jamaica. Are you seeing anything in Jamaica that interests you? Any artists, any movement that would spark your interest, or anything?
I mean, Jamaica culture is always going to be in the forefront of my mind, always. I can never not be that. From a musical perspective, I'm seeing a lot of young actors coming out of Jamaica. I mean, I just did a record with Skilly Benz. I think Jamaica is just it's always had an abundance of talent. I think it's beginning to reshape itself. From a youth perspective. I think we just have to continue to push.
So what advice would you give to these kids that they're doing music their way, let's say that. What advice would you give to them if they wanna, reach global stardom like a Tyler?
Believe in yourself. It's really that simple. Just believe. Believe and push, and don't let anybody tell you anything different. Just believe, find a good team, and believe and push. In today's world, you have the ability, the digital commerce has given everyone an ability to push themselves. Gives everyone an opportunity to send a message. Gives everyone a fair shot at some levels. So hone your craft every day, put the work in. It's an 18-hour day job, and it doesn't stop. And are you truly ready for it? One thing is to have talent. One thing is to have talent, but to have talent and discipline and focus and believing in yourself, that's a whole, you need a lot of things beyond talent.
Tyla's going on tour. Will she be touching in the Caribbean?
Yeah, at some point, though, most definitely, most definitely, most definitely. She's going on tour for about 8 months, and I'm sure that we will definitely touch through the Caribbean, at different spaces, at different times, but definitely.
And Jamaica being one of those stops.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, of course, of course.
And I know she was in Jamaica last year. What was her experience like with that? Or what
I
did
mean, you have, I mean, that's a question you'll probably have to ask her, but I mean, she came to Jamaica to record. We shot the Truth or Dare visualizer that was shot in Jamaica, in Port Antonio. So we shot some things in Jamaica. We recorded about six songs in Jamaica, at G Jam. And it was a great opportunity for her, for me to show her where I was from, and just kind of the vibes and all of that. And she really loved it, you know. We went to Dub House, so we had a good time.
Why did you bring her to Jamaica?
Because I'm Jamaican. The simplest, I'm Jamaican. We met in South Africa. It was an opportunity to record and to show the space that I was from. I think it's it's, same reason we're in America, same reason we're in different spaces. I wanted her to experience what this incredible space that made me, and also to record a bunch of songs in a space that we felt that had the right energy.
A lot of people comparing her online to Rihanna. Is that deliberate for her to come up in the good girl gone bad kind of vibe?
No, I think Tyler's Tyler. I think people always want to compare people to someone. I think people. Imagination doesn't allow them to think of a person as just being them. So we consistently need to compare somebody to someone. Tyler is Tyler. Ree is Ree. They're two different people, different times, different circumstances. The similarities that they both didn't come from America and they came from a different space and made it in America and made it in the world. They're two beautiful girls, but they're two different things. Tyler is Tyler. We all love Rihanna, super fans. Everyone is, including Tyler, is a super fan of Rihanna, but Tyler is Tyler. Riri's Riri.
How
I
did you
don't think
get?
we need to compare them.
I agree. How did you get to? I'm looking at her profile, right? The record is certified in Canada, US, UK, a couple of countries, back to back to back. How does one get to be global in such a short space of time? Because a lot of artists are trying to do that.
I think just I think it's a lot of things. It's timing. Coming out of Africa, you kind of come through Europe first, not North America. So we came through the UK first. We have a great record company that really have always from day one thought of Tyler as a global pop star that was from Africa, so Africa's first pop star. So our approach has always been global. The way we record the music, the things that we do, the opportunities that we chase and accept have always been from a global perspective. So I think we were intentional, in being in being a global artist. And the market has accepted it. And the record is, and if you just look at as we announce more tour dates, you'll realize that, we're looking at the world, not just Europe, not just North America, but Asia, but Latin America and India and everywhere else. We're very focused on building a global footprint. I think it's important.
All right, you coming to Jamaica to the IMC Music Conference? What are you coming to talk about? What are you coming to share?
I'm coming to sit on a panel around artist management. Sharon Burke, who's the executive producer of the conference, I've known pretty much most of my career. I'm always supportive of the things that she tries to do in the community. So it was an opportunity for me to come and be a part of that, and an opportunity for me to come home and touch my people and just be a part of it. I definitely I'm excited about that, but I'm on an artist management panel and I think I'm on another panel, an evolution panel, something mass evolution, or the new evolution panel. So I'm going to be talking about just, the world, different things in management that I do, that I practice, theories, and yeah, and just trying to lend a hand and just be a voice. I remember in my career, I went to many music conferences and, just listening to people talk about their journey really inspired me. Hopefully I can touch someone during my time there, and my words can help someone kind of, plot their path.
Yeah, how important do you think conferences like this are to reggae dancehall's development?
I think conferences in general are important. I think anytime you have an opportunity to educate an audience, it's important. I think in every industry has conferences. Every industry has an opportunity where people get to meet, people that are doing the things that they aspire to do. I think conferences are important because I think we tend to be so focused on being the person with the mic in our hand. That I think there's so many jobs in the creative industry that doesn't require you to have a mic in your hand, doesn't require you to play an instrument, doesn't require you to write a song. There's so many other careers within the creative space, and I hope that this conference can show a young person in Jamaica that, yeah, you can. There's a lot of jobs. There is a massive industry in the creative space, and that you don't have to be a musician, you don't have to be a songwriter. There's many, many careers within this space, and I hope that young people start to look beyond that, just them, just having a mic in their hand.
Yeah. Who's your top five favorite artists, Colin?
Oh God,
I know it's
I mean,
hard.
Bob would always be number one. 50. I've always loved 50. Well, I always love 50. I love him, the person. And I love what he's done. So for me, an artist is also about what they've done, how they've moved the bar. I'm thinking, okay, that's two. Stevie Wonder, of course. Curtis Mayfield, and then probably Sade.
Okay, my last question is, did Tyla collaborate with any Jamaican artists when she was here?
Skilly Benz.
Skilly Bang.
Yep.
And that's gonna be dropping soon.
That'll be on the album.
Ah, wild, 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 wild. Big up, Colin, Gail, Jamaican doing big things overseas. Thank you so much, bro.
All right, bro. Appreciate you.